morning. You are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi, live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. In Conversation with Rashmi brings you your community stories. We are all storytellers in our day-to-day lives, aren't we? We just don't call ourselves that. Our stories are not something we do, it's just who we are. I will be sitting down with guests from this community who will share their stories of highs and lows, their loss and triumphs, and from making difficult career choices to breaking stereotypes. Story of motherhood to being a stay-at-home dad. What it is being a doula. That fine line between spirituality and practicality. While adversity brought one family closer, it tore apart another. Standing up for oneself was the only choice to fight abuse and bullying. Expressing oneself through music and dance. Some really cool summer ideas and tips, they will share it all. Health, wellness, fashion, and so much more. You will hear some great advice and insight from my guests with extraordinary stories. May the 4th be with you. That's right. It's May 4th, Star Wars Day today. But you know what? I'm not here talking about Star Wars, Darth Vader, or Yoda. I'm talking about this wonderful guest who's here with me in studio. She is a force, a hero to her two beautiful daughters, and the owner and publisher of the Holistic Parent Magazine. It's a natural health and wellness hub for families in Waterloo Region and Wellington County. Welcome my very first guest, Elaine Capogenes. Thank you, Elaine, so much for coming on my show and joining me in conversation with Rashmi.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
It is. So let's begin with, you've worked in a corporate world in the past and have worked in various senior editorial and management roles, including launching your really very first independent publication in 2008.
Yeah.
So how did this transformation happen?
Well, I guess I started out in the corporate world. So actually, as soon as I graduated from high school, I started working with my dad at a financial company. Doing the craziest job ever now. It was literally sorting contracts for car contracts. So they would come in at a pile and stapled, and you know, with the insurance information and the contract and you know the ownership, and I would literally remove the staple, mm-hmm. reorganize the pile, put the staple back in, and pass it on to somebody to enter it into the computer. So I did that for the entire summer after I graduated from high school, and I continued to work at that place basically for 6 years of my post-secondary education.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I ended up working in as a senior collector, making phone calls all day, collecting payments from past due cars. And I kind of got thrown into the corporate world. This was like, you know, business. I was 19 years old buying like business attire. I kind of got thrown to the wolves there a little bit. So that was kind of my first introduction into like the working world. And in the meantime, I was also going to university. So I have a bachelor's degree in English and philosophy from Western out in London, spent 4 years there.
Wow.
Yeah. Wasn't really sure what I wanted to do afterwards. I had a few different paths.
you were into journalism and...
Yeah. So but journalism really didn't hit my radar until after I graduated from university. I actually almost went to law school.
What?
In about my third year of university, I was trying to decide, you know, what am I going to do with this great degree? I loved English. I loved philosophy. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. A lot of a lot of my peers who were in that stream end up going into law school. So wrote my LSATs, went through the whole application process. And I said to my parents, it was almost the minute I hit send on my law school application, I realized I did not want to go to law school.
Oh, no.
So at that point, I started to kind of look at other avenues and what I could do. So I started So I think I always had it in my head I was going to get a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stumbled into a master's of journalism program at Western. And I was kind of looking at the courses and I was like, I don't know. It was so theoretical, right? Like it was the theory, the history of newspapers. And I said, I was just kind of done with that. So I started looking at college programs. And I actually started looking at a paralegal program thinking, well, it's a little bit more 9-to-5. Maybe I'll do a paralegal, see if I like it, and then maybe apply to law school later. And I found this unbelievable journalism program at Humber College.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was reading through the course book and I was like,
this is my jam.
This is what I want to do.
Absolutely.
And I went in for the first interview because it's a bit of an extensive application process because it's a harder program to get into. So I had to go for an interview and they were talking about all the magazines that they produce and the school newspaper. And I walked out of there and I was like, I'm gonna own a magazine one day. I literally walked out and thought,
"You knew it then. You knew it then."
Absolutely, yeah. I absolutely knew this is what I wanted to do. So, the program was amazing. I spent 2 years at Humber College, in their unbelievable program. I focused on print, so we got to produce magazines, and I was the editor in chief of the sports magazine for a semester. And then I ended up opting out of my fourth semester and got a job. I was an intern.
And this was in Toronto?
No. This was not in Toronto. This was in Eastern Ontario.
Oh.
Pretty much right on the border between Ontario and Quebec.
Wow, you've been all over.
I know, this tiny, tiny little town. It was the Glengarry News I worked for.
Wow.
And I was living with an 85-year-old woman in her spare bedroom. And I was working... You know, I was a newspaper girl. I was a reporter and photographer and working weekends.
Got it all.
Covering everything that a small town newspaper covers. So I did that for 4 months and really got my feet wet in journalism, I guess. Like, again, talking about just being thrown into to the wolves, right? And loved it. Loved every minute of it. I knew that was what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I graduated, got a job, which actually ended up bringing me back full circle into the corporate world. So I ended up working for a very large international publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
Back to, you know, a 9-to-5, business casual dress, you know, casual Fridays, you know, business meetings.
We all love that.
The real corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working for an accounting newspaper. So I was doing writing and editing and layout for an accounting newspaper. And then I kind of got recruited to go to a different company working for a legal business magazine. So we were writing about law. Again, kind of weird full circle kind of thing. I was writing about law and lawyers and business. And this was...
Law wasn't meant to let
honestly, go. Honestly. And I was working with Bay Street lawyers. Like we were down on Bay Street visiting law firms and, you know, it was...
That's exciting.
It was fun. It was a fun time. And sort of in the background of this, I had always still wanted to do my own thing, wanted to, you know, write my own stuff and publish. I just had this real desire to put something out into the world that was mine.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I was also playing rugby. Which I played for 6 years.
Nice.
One of the reasons that I'm hobbling in here today with my busted up knee.
Yes, you've been fighting that a while now.
So it's an old injury. It started on the rugby field, but I said, why don't we have a rugby magazine? Like there's these great sports magazines and
cool.
There's this great community of rugby players in Ontario and we're such a tight-knit community and there's so many stories to tell and there's so many interesting,
absolutely.
So much interesting stuff going on. So, you know, I was 26 years old and I thought, I'm going to start a magazine.
Perfect.
So I did some research and ended up connecting with the people at Rugby Ontario and I launched a magazine while I was working full-time. And it was a very good learning experience.
Was it? I'm sure.
It was a really good learning experience. I did it for about 2 years.
So did you have to interview rugby players?
I was interviewing rugby players. We did a ton of we did a lot of our own photography. I was working with a local photographer. Mm-hmm. I was covering a lot of the news, a lot of the kind of the ups and downs of the club system. Yeah. And so, yeah, I did that for 2 years. And
it's a competitive world in journalism, right?
Yeah,
so at some
really
point,
was.
Did you think, I can't do this. This is it. You know, I'm probably going back to law school and...
Journalism, no. No. Probably right around the time where I was working on the rugby magazine, it was a bit of a weird time because we ended up... We were living in the GTA at the time, my then boyfriend, now husband. We were working in the GTA and we decided we wanted to buy a house and couldn't afford or didn't want to live in the GTA. So we started looking out here. So this is how we ended up in Cambridge. But I had to make the decision that we were either going to go east of the city and I was going to keep my job and my husband was going to find a new job.
Yep.
Or we were going to go west of the city. I was going to quit my job and he was going to stay at his job in Mississauga. And the decision was, because I was a journalist, I could do freelance writing and editing, and I was working on the magazine, we decided the best course of action was for me to quit my job and to move out here, knowing that I was going to be limited on what I was going to be able to do.
Yeah, because you have to build those new connections
again, right?
Yeah,
definitely, definitely. So it was that point I was working on the rugby magazine, and so it was about a year into that, and we'd had some struggles with, you know, our own kind of situation. Going down to one income was difficult with a new house, and we had some other kind of stuff going on. I ended up having to shut the magazine down, the rugby magazine, just out of I just wasn't getting the support that I needed. I just wasn't seeing the return that I needed to. So that was a really hard decision to shut the magazine down. And then I also realized that I hated freelance writing. I hated it. I hated having to go and sell myself, and I was just doing really stuff that I would consider not like good journalism. I was just taking any job I could get, and I was sitting at home in my pajamas all day. I just, you know, talking to the dog. This is pre-kids. Yeah.
And that takes a toll.
It does. So I think that was probably, that year was a really hard year for us. So that was probably the only time where I was like, oh, like, is this, maybe this is not what I'm meant to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something else that I need to look into. And then, you know, as fate would have it, a job posting came up and it sounded amazing and I applied and I ended up getting it. So I ended up working for a small custom content firm down in Burlington.
Okay.
Kind of, again, coming weirdly full circle, I was ended up working with the Ontario Home Builders Association.
Oh, wow.
So again, kind of back into that kind of corporate world, writing a lot about business. I was, you know, doing like economic projections for the building industry and looking at building codes and... not my passion, but the job was amazing. And I was the associate publisher. I was hired as an associate publisher. So
okay.
That was a real opportunity for me. I was managing the sales team and I was doing business development and looking, you know, doing business plans for new projects.
For sure.
So that was amazing. That was just such a wonderful learning experience for me. And then I got pregnant with my baby and
aww.
Yeah, and then I guess the rest is history. And then we
so you have two beautiful girls, right?
I have two beautiful daughters. Yeah. Keep me on my toes.
Absolutely. So at that point is when you decided, okay, that's it. I'm going to stop, you know, working in the corporate world and start my own thing.
Oh, no. I 100% thought I was going to go back to work. Always thought I was going to be that stay. I was going to be that the working mom. I was going to have, you know, I was going to take my 1 year maternity leave and I was going to go back and I was going to be that mom that did it all. I was going to go back part time. So I still had my feet in the world and I was going to go to work and, you know, put my makeup on every day. But then I was, you know, still going to be this like super mom. And that was the vision that I had always had in my head. Well, as my maternity leave creeps closer and closer to finishing, you know, you start to actually, like, it sets
get
in.
Get into reality
well,
then, right?
Of what you're actually going to have to do and leaving my baby and just the logistics of even, I was working in Burlington. My husband works in Kitchener. He travels a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like the conversations like, well, where are we going to put her in daycare? Like, am I going to bring her down to Burlington with me every day? If something, you know, if I have to be at a conference in Toronto, my husband can't drive from Kitchener to Burlington to pick her up.
Exactly.
So just these, like, it was just like logistical conversations. And we're just like, and then I was going to drop down to part-time hours, which means I was dropping down to part-time salary.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just when we kind of sat down and thought about it, we're like, this doesn't really, it's not really making any sense. And my husband, who's just super amazing, looked at me and he said, like, if you want to go back to work, go back for you. Yeah. Don't go back because you feel like you need to, or because we need to financially, because mm-hmm. that's not what this is. Yeah. And, you know, that to me was like,
yeah, having that support is phenomenal.
Yeah,
right?
It's like great. it makes you, definitely.
You know, make the right decisions
absolutely.
At certain point.
And I think we both my husband and I had stay-at-home moms growing mm-hmm. up for a long time. My mom is, I'm 37 and my mom is still a stay-at-home mom.
And that works.
Yeah, and then his mom was a teacher.
Okay.
And she didn't go back full-time until both the kids were in middle school. So he also had, so I think both of us really understood the benefit mm-hmm. of having a full-time stay-at-home mom. So
for sure.
That made things a little bit easier, but man, that actual decision when I had to say, like, I am not going to go back to work, it was a really hard decision to make. I don't regret it. It was absolutely the right decision, but so it was a really hard one.
Did you have to go back and forth in those decisions? Because you decide, okay, one day I'm going to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to go back to the corporate totally. world, and then next day you're like, oh no,
oh,
maybe I'm just going to keep
oh,
doing
my
mine.
Goodness. Emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
Seriously, I was really torn because I loved the job. I loved the people I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like I didn't have my first baby until I was 31. So I'd already had almost a 10-year career
before
I even had my kids. So for me, it was a bit of like, oh, I've got to, you know, what am I giving up? Am I giving up my career? Am I going to be able to get back into this? Is this really what I want? It was all these, you know, we're moms, right? It's that constant questioning. Are we doing the right thing?
And especially with kids in the play, you constantly go back and forth thinking about them and how are we going to juggle this?
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, my heart was just not into going back to work. I would have done it if I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably have, if my husband had said like, yeah, I think you should go back to work, I probably would have done it. And it probably would have been great. You know, we would have made the best of the situation and it would have been great. But I'm really glad that I made the decision that I did, and I will never regret spending those early years.
That's amazing.
One of those moments, it was probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks after I had decided not to go back to work, and now I'm, you know, full-blown stay-at-home mom. Like, I was doing just, you know, in my pajamas, you know, and she was only a year old, so I mean, it's she's so little. And anyway, she came up to me, and she, you know, her little like 1-year-old body came up, walked up to me, and gave me a hug, and she said, "I love you for the first time." And
oh,
I was
my
just like,
goodness.
And this is still a moment that stays with me because it was really powerful. And I was like, you know what? If I was at work right now,
mm-hmm.
I would have missed.
You'd
that
have
moment.
Missed that moment.
And
absolutely.
That really. It was almost in that like instance that I was like, oh, this is just the right decision. I've just
and
made
it's
the right
small
decision.
Little gestures
it
that
is.
Make such a big difference in all our lives, right?
That's what we live for as moms, right? Those,
absolutely.
Like, those tiny pockets of those beautiful moments with our kids, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So through this whole journey of, you know, making a decision between wanting to go back, did you have mentors who kind of guided you through this path?
Not
or
really through there. I've had mentors leading up, like in my journalism career. Probably one of my first was, oh my god, I can't even, isn't that awful, I can't even remember her name.
It's been so long.
I know, it was
we
a
have
long
those
time ago.
Moments too.
A long time ago. Kind of a chance meeting. I ended up coming back to the knee surgery. My goodness, we were just keep circling around this. My very first knee surgery, this lovely woman was waiting in the waiting room with me, and there were some delays. She was having the same surgery I was. And, you know, we just got chatting, and
mm-hmm.
turns out she owned a magazine in Woodbridge, and I was in journalism school. And so she was like, well, you know, why don't you come and, you know, volunteer? And so I got to go to her office. It was just her and her husband. It was this food magazine. And really, that was my really very first taste of like, okay, this is cool. This is,
mm-hmm.
I could do this. And then when I was starting the rugby magazine, you know, I had done a lot of research and I had my business plan and, you know, had this sort of vision on what it was going to be. So out of the blue, I called her up and I said, can I just sit down and talk with you? Like, I just want to, you know, am I missing anything? Like what? And she's like, yep, for sure. Buy me a coffee. We'll come and chat. And I got the opportunity to talk to her, and it was just so validating because her just like, yep, that's right. Yep. Like just to have that validation.
Absolutely.
And,
for someone who's been in the industry too, right?
Exactly. And then that was also kind of my first taste of being able to reach out to somebody because, you know, I was 20, 25, 26 at the time and really, you know, I'd worked in corporate world. So I was kind of used to that, not the competition, but, you know, a little bit of like, you know, everybody's kind of elbowing for room, right?
Yeah.
So that was really my first taste of just being, you know, cold calling somebody and being like, I need your help.
Yeah. And I think it takes that one phone call or one gesture to just, you know, make that first move.
Absolutely.
And it changes your whole perspective.
It really does. And how great of her to, you know, share some secrets with me about the industry. And she was just so open and very accepting and very encouraging of what I was doing. So that relationship, and, you know, it only lasted, you know, I think we were only in contact for, you know, 6 months or a year, but that really has stuck with me through the rest of my career. And I feel like that was a really foundational point of my career as well.
Fantastic. So, yeah. Fantastic. So about Holistic Parent Magazine itself, let's talk about that. So you decided, okay, stay at home mom, and this is what I'm going to do. And with all the anxious times and nervousness and everything that was, you know, bottled up in there, how did this magazine all about?
I always say it's always the way the best things happen. It was very organic. I certainly never thought, okay, my daughter's 14 months old, I'm going to go start a magazine. I always knew in the back of my head that I wanted to own my own company and be an entrepreneur, and it was probably going to be in publishing. But I was thinking like 5 years down the road, you know, enjoy this time. Let's get, you know, get her in school. We knew we were probably going to have a second one at some point. And it was something I always had wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I started, I started connecting with other moms in the region, and I was doing some volunteer work and really starting to kind of immerse myself in that. And the communities that I found myself in were a little bit more of the natural health and attachment parenting. And I sort of kind of felt myself kind of being pulled in that direction. And then I ended up connecting with a woman who was starting a show around the same, you know, and she was using kind of our little group as, you know, a sounding board for, oh, do you like this idea? What about this? What about this? And I just kept thinking, like, man, like, that would make a great magazine. Like, think about all these great businesses that she's connecting with. So I ended up connecting with her and saying, like, you know, you're doing this show. I kind of have this idea for this publication. Why don't we collaborate and, you know, share business contacts and share leads and, you know, maybe we can get, you know, I'll do basically a show guide. We'll launch this magazine at your show and then see where it goes. And that was 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
5 years already.
Yeah. So yeah, it's coming up 5 years in September. I launched my first issue. So that was, it was very organic. It was very, kind of a spur of the moment decision, like, let's just do this. And it took 8 months of like background work to actually like get to the launch.
Yes.
And then ever since then, it's just kind of been, just kind of feeding off the momentum that I've been getting. So
that's great. That's great. And it focuses a lot on health, wellness, and, you know, people within our community.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
great. Yeah, definitely. So I always say my tagline is natural health and wellness for families in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Our underlying editorial mandate is supporting attachment parenting. So we write a lot on natural term breastfeeding, safe co-sleeping, kind of anything that goes along within that kind of attachment parenting world,
mm-hmm.
with stuff that we would cover in the magazine as well. And then, yeah, supporting local businesses, which is something I didn't anticipate doing.
But it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
how
it's
much
really, again, it's very, been very organic, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. And it's also giving that platform for local businesses too, right? To promote what they do and
share their
stories.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I've always worked in, you know, the magazine. I've always worked on the editorial side of magazines,
mm-hmm.
in my pre-baby career. So it was always more focused on the reader, and it was what do the readers want, reaching out to the readers. I hadn't really been part of that sales portion, per se, where I was actually like connecting with businesses. So to bring myself in and start my own publication where I'm doing everything, I'm writing, I'm editing, I'm doing business development, and I'm doing all the sales, I started to meet and connect with all of these local businesses and just realizing what an amazing community we have here, and the like amazing local businesses and how supportive everybody is. And And then I ended up seeing myself as kind of a conduit for, you know, there's these businesses who need to reach the readers. There's readers who want to know what's going on in the community. I'm that intersection point.
Yep.
And not only that, I started to get feedback from the local businesses about, you know, they're looking for connection. They're looking to connect with other local businesses. They're struggling, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are working at home by themselves. They were looking for connection outside of what they were doing and outside of their kids and their family. So that was where kind of these networking events kind of came about. So I also host regular networking events.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just as a direct response to the comments that I was getting from the businesses that I was working with. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Again, it's all kind of organic, right?
Like, yeah.
It's
just, it all loops into each other.
Just, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's amazing. So we're just going to take a short break here.
Let's
and
do it.
I am in conversation with Elaine Capogene. She is the owner and publisher of the health magazine, The Holistic Parent. And we are live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. All right, so I'm here with Elaine Capogene, and she is the owner and publisher of the Holistic Parent magazine. For those of you who have just tuned in, we are live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. So, Elaine, we spoke about the magazine, how it started, and, you know, how it was deciding what you needed to do to stay with your kids. So with two young kids, how do you balance home and business? Because, you know, unlike the corporate world where it's a 9-to-5 job, this is like 24/7, and you got to stay on top of things. How do you balance both these worlds?
I have no balance. There's no balance. I get this question all the time. I have no balance. It is 24/7. It's constant. For me, this is changing a little bit this year just because my little one is a bit older now. So she's, in daycare a couple days a week, and she's going to be going to school in September. So things are shifting a little bit. But, you know, going back, you know, when I'm in the trenches and there's like babies in the house and I'm also trying to run a business, there's no balance. I have always said I am mom first. If I were to meet somebody on the street and they're like, hey, you know, what do you do? My automatic answer is I'm a full-time mom.
Yep.
And then, you know, usually there's somebody standing there like, wait, don't you also own a magazine? I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, that. I do that too. So
yes. For
me, I've always been 100% mom.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine has always not necessarily been an afterthought, but it's been my evenings and weekends. You know, it's, you know, kids go to bed. I'm able to sit down, pound out a few emails.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot easier now. That the business is more established. I can spend less time on it. I'm in a really good rhythm where I don't have to be putting in the number of hours that I was, say, like 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was literally like, okay, kids are, you know, set the kids up for some lunch. I'm going to go over here and pound out some emails while I'm like washing the dishes and, you know, and I'm working till, you know, 1, 2, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning if we're on deadline and I'm trying to get stuff to the printer. So the short answer is there is no balance. I have no semblance of balance in my life.
It does, you know, owning your own business and managing the home front does have its own challenges. But as long as, you know, we can find some kind of rhythm there and say, okay. And like you said, your first focus is your kids and being a mom and it's fantastic.
Yeah. There's a quote that I love, and I think it was from a Dr. Sears book I read, and it said something along the lines of, you know, do what you're doing until it doesn't work anymore, and then do something else.
That's
and
fabulous.
I love that. It's so simple.
It is.
And for me, this has always worked. Like, it's hard for me to explain to people what I do and why it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It works. This lifestyle works for me. The way that I, you know, raise my kids and balance, air quotes, balance the business. It works and I'm happy and it's good. So I'm not changing anything.
That's fantastic. That's fabulous. So with deadlines and pressures, how do you deal with them? Because, you know, you are the boss. You are in control of it all. It doesn't affect as much as, you know, being in a corporate world. Okay, deadlines, this is it.
Yeah.
We need it tonight. So how does that pressure, like, what do you do to kind of ease that off?
Well, for me, it's giving myself breathing room. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm working in corporate, it very much was like, this is the deadline. Like, you know, if you don't have it in by midnight on this day, that's it. Like, that's especially it. Especially working in a newspaper setting where it's like, we were a weekly newspaper, so like, those deadlines are tight. For me, it's always been, I've got the mindset, like, I'm in control. So, you know, if I need to take an extra week to before I can publish the magazine, I give myself permission to get to have that breathing room.
And that's so important, right? To give yourself that permission to say it's okay.
Exactly. So, because, you know, I do have to remember I'm my own boss. I'm not reporting to anybody else. So, I mean, I have to keep myself accountable. But on the flip side, you know, me putting out, you know, me delivering the magazine on a Friday versus like a following Wednesday, like nobody except for me is really going to care about that.
Yeah.
So it was taking a step back and just realizing like, I have the flexibility and I have the breathing room to make this work for mm-hmm. me. So also, for example, when I started the magazine, I only did it 3 times a year. So it was only once every 4 months. I was like, you know what? I think that's as much as I can handle. Last year, I started doing it quarterly. So I realized that I could step it up a little bit more. And now I'm doing an extra issue a year. So
you got it.
Yeah. And then also for the summers, because I know I have both kids home with me. Mm-hmm. You know, my oldest one she's in senior kindergarten now. So I don't plan anything over the summer. I don't accept any shows. I don't plan any networking events. The next magazine for the fall issue always comes out at the end of the summer. Yeah. And that was very purposeful on my part.
Yeah, you've got to spend that time
exactly,
with them, right?
I've built in a little bit of a break for myself into my schedule, into my
That's
yearly
fantastic.
Schedule. So that for me is very, very important.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So coming along with, you know, the pressure and everything to ease that off, you wrote an article way back. It's called what? The Bubble Bath and Bullets Journals?
Yeah.
I love that title. It's so amazing. Yeah. So you wrote that article way back in the spring issue in 2018. Mm-hmm. That's when it was originally published. So tell me a little about that, because that self-care to many people is very different. And from reading that, you know, article, I took a look at it, and the perspective you come out with, I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was kind of born out of, there is a bit of a movement for self-care right now. And,
it is.
And I love it. And I think it's so important, and it's an important conversation, but I was just, at that point, that was over a year ago, I was just getting a little frustrated with the conversation, because I think self-care is very important. And I think the way that some people were talking about it and the way it's being talked about on social media, it almost trivializes it a bit. And it comes off as this frivolous, you know, going to get your nails done
yep.
and like going for spa days and having these like luxurious bubble baths. And you know what? That stuff is all amazing. I love getting my nails done. Like,
we all love that.
Right? Like,
so much
I don't judge anyone for calling that self-care. But for me, the article was a little bit about like, could we be doing more? Could we be looking at this in a different way? So, you know, I kind of challenge people to think like, well, what if self-care wasn't those small moments? What if it was spending time creating a life that you want to live in?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like, they align with something like, why aren't you creating a life that you want to live in rather than a life that you're looking to escape from? So for me, my perspective was, when you're calling out stuff like, you know, bubble baths and spa days, it's you're trying to escape from something, but you're not addressing the fundamental problem is that there's something that you want to escape from. So
that's very true.
Right? Like, and so, you know, I probably should have reread the article. It was a while ago that I wrote it. But, you know, I gave some examples like, you know, self-care could be spending a Sunday afternoon doing meal prep for the rest of the week, knowing that, you know, that 4 o'clock rush comes around, the kids are cranky, they're home from school, you're trying to get dinner, you know, why don't do a couple of things ahead of time in order to alleviate some of that stress that you continue to see?
Yeah.
And same thing, I think another one was, you know, toxic relationships. Why can't we You know, taking the idea of setting boundaries and eliminating toxic relationships from our lives, what if that was self-care?
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
You're eliminating these foundational problems in your life so that you don't, so when you go for the spa days or the nails or the girls' nights out, you're not escaping from anything. You're just able to enjoy yourself and you're just enjoying
your life. And it's in that moment itself, right?
Yeah.
And what after? You're back to your own.
Exactly. So,
miserable self then.
Yeah, I was basically just, I was hoping the article was just sort of challenging people to kind of look at things in a bigger picture kind of way and figuring out what they could do to make their overall experience a little bit more manageable so that they don't have to, you know, escape from anything. So.
That's a great article.
Thank you.
So if the listeners want to take a look at where, you know, want to read about this article, where can they find it?
Oh, yeah. So that one is actually probably the reason you came across it was because I recently posted it on the Holistic Parent website. So it's theholisticparent.ca. I did a massive revamp of the website last fall, and we actually have a blog component now. So it was something I did before. It was a little chaotic at the time, so I shut the blog down. It's up and running again. So this is where I'm able to put up content. We've got new content. We've got fresh content all the time coming in from local contributors, national contributors, international contributors. We had a lovely woman from New Zealand write an article about how to get your kids outdoors. So it's really a great space just to kind of amp up the what we do in the magazine, but a little bit more broader terms.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, I'm starting to put some of the older content from the magazines onto the website as well. So, yeah, theholisticparent.ca, it's all there.
That's great. And you also have a market coming up. Tell us more about that. That's
yes,
great, you
yeah.
know, that's something local too, and it's got local vendors.
Yeah, definitely. So again, this was kind of again born out of my networking events. So I mm-hmm. have been doing networking events for about a year and a half, and most of them are kind of small scale. You know, we just have like a speaker. Rashmi was a speaker last
yes,
week at
I was.
One of our events. So mostly they're a little bit lower key, but I have done larger scale events where we've got vendors and guest speakers and caterers. And I love that. And they always get such great feedback. And I love working with the vendors, and I love vending at shows.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about last year, and I was thinking, like, well, why can't I do one of my own? Like, you know, bring in my people, bring in my, you know, local, eco-conscious, family-friendly group of businesses that I already work with, and put them all in one room together and turn this into a market. So I kind of had this idea, and for me, it was really, I needed the space. I really wanted to have a unique space. Like, I mm-hmm. love, you know, I've done lots of shows at Bingaman's, and I love those spaces. They're great. They're big. They're functional. But I wanted something a little bit more unique to kind of mesh with the vibe that I was going for. And then somebody that I, you know, had known for a while, and she had taken my prenatal, I was a prenatal yoga teacher. We connected, she was one of my students. And
nice.
Just, we really hit it off, and we've kind of stayed in touch through social media. And then she announced that her and her husband had bought the old beer store in Hespler Village. So I live very close to Hespler.
That's amazing.
So yeah, it was this, so when we first moved there, it was this old school beer store. Like, we're talking like the rollers, the like, I don't think they quite had the like announcement, you know, where they like,
oh,
Q4 of whatever, and then it like comes shooting out on the rollers. Like, maybe not quite that old school, but there was definitely rollers involved. And it was small, and anyway, it shut down. So now they have the big, beautiful, like, new beer
new
store
place.
Kind of across the street. But the space has sat empty for years. And Amy and her husband announced that they had purchased the space and were turning it into a wedding venue, of all things.
Amazing.
So,
oh, that is so cool.
So cool.
That is
such
so
a
cool.
Great business, such a great family. So I immediately contacted her and said, like, I'm wondering if there's something we can do together. Like, I love your space. Like, I would love to. I love the idea. I love Hespler Village. Like, is there something that we could do together? Anyway, then we really started talking about having vendors and that she would be able to support this. And anyway, so that was about a year ago, and signed the contract. I was the first person, I believe, Amy may be correcting me on this, I believe I was the first person to sign a contract with them.
Fantastic.
And we are going to be the first public event happening at the new location. So,
and when is that?
So it's May 11th, so it's a week today. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm saying that. It's a week today, May 11th. So the new venue is called Storehouse 408 in Hespler Village. So it's the old beer store, if anybody knows the location. It's on Queen Street West. And it starts at 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. And we've got, we've got so much stuff going on. We've got over 30 local vendors. They're all local, hand-picked vendors by myself and my jury committee. It was an application process, so we were hand-selecting who was going to be there. We've got a food truck coming in for the duration. We've got some amazing patio sponsors, so they have this incredible patio area. So we're going to set up some stuff, some activities going on in the patio. We have a wellness room sponsored by Recharge and Play. So they're going to come in and set up a wellness space. Our patio sponsors are Heather Hartfield from Knowledge First Financial, Martha Adams from Tier 1 Investments, and Bridget Jensen from Better Bedtime. So the three of them have collaborated and kind of created this like really
cool. That is really cool.
Very cool. They're very interesting businesses and three very wonderful women who are putting together the patio space for us. We have the author of The Woman in the Moon, The Women in the Moon, Peggy Dietrich. Her and her granddaughters, she wrote a book and her daughter illustrated it. And it's about it's in a beautiful book. It's about the connection that women all have to each other, and she connects it to the moon. And
amazing.
The inspiration was she was driving back from Florida, I think, and she looked up at the moon and just had this thought whether her granddaughters were looking at the same moon, and that all the, you know, there's just this like massive connection between everybody. So she wrote a children's book. She's going to be on site selling the book, and she's going to be doing a book signing.
So do people need to sign up online?
So we do have a Facebook event page. So if you just look up the Holistic Parent Market, we have a Facebook event page. So that's, we're posting information about the vendors that are going to be there. We've been doing some contests. That's kind of the hub for kind of everything that's going to be going on that day. But no, you don't need to sign up. You can just show up. It's $5 entry. We're probably going to be doing some giveaways for some free tickets this week. The first 50 people are going to get a very cool swag bag.
Nice.
And then we've got door prizes. So we're doing a ballot system. So everybody who comes in the door is going to be getting a ballot. If you purchase from three different vendors, you're going to get a stamp.
Okay.
And you drop your ballot in on the way out. And we are well over $1,000 worth of door prizes right now.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's like the door prizes.
All right.
Like,
I know what I'm doing on May 11th. Besides another event that's on.
Yeah, exactly. So, and our title sponsor for all this is 161 Artisan Market. So this gorgeous, gorgeous little shop in Hustler Village. So talk about keeping it local.
Yes.
So it's Valerie from 161 Artisan Market, and they're our title sponsors, so they've been super supportive. And the best part is all of our prize winners, door prizes, are going to be able to be picked up at 161 Artisan Market. So if you win something at the door prize, you can go to her shop and pick it up, and then, you know, get a chance to go and take a look at her
stuff.
That
so it's great.
Adorable. It's literally the cutest little shop on the planet. So
that's great. Yeah. So coming back to, you know, everything that you've done, the fabulous work that you've been doing, and continue, you know, supporting local vendors and markets and things that you do, is there one thing that you would say to all the moms who are stay-at-home moms, who are nervous, anxious to start, or, you know, to follow their dreams? What would you tell them?
Oh, man, that's a big question. You know, it's about priorities. Like, I think I've talked about this. It happens organically, right? I think if you try to push something and it's not right, it's not going to work out. So, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're sitting there and you're thinking, like, what's your motivation? If you're feeling pressure, like, I feel like I need to contribute, I feel like, you know, if it's an outside pressure to feel like you need to start something or do something, I just have a gut feeling that that's not going to work out. I think it has to be something that you're super passionate about, and you have to be willing to sacrifice time with your kids. So if you want to be a stay-at-home mom and that's all you want to do, go for it. Just do that. There's nothing more wonderful than just spending those moments with your kids.
Yeah,
don't feel the societal pressure to go out and do something beyond that.
I know, it's amazing the information, and, you know, people around you keep telling you stuff that you don't want to hear
times. Yeah, exactly. And I think actually...
And just follow your heart.
Yeah, I think actually maybe I'll post it. I did write another article. Mm-hmm. I used to write for the magazine. I don't anymore because I don't have time. But I used to write a column at the back. And I think one of them was just... I think it was just mom or just call me mom or I'm just a mom or something like that. And it was about the idea that it's okay to just be a mom. There seems to be this really negative stigma where you're like, oh, I'm just a mom. No, you're not just a mom. There's nothing wrong with being just a mom.
Because that's a lot.
Oh my goodness, it is so much on its own. Yep. So, you know, it's okay. You don't feel like you have to be pressured to go out and do something. Don't feel like, you know, there's all these opportunities right now, especially with like distribution companies. And, you know, you look at your friends who are doing all this stuff. Like, I would caution somebody to kind of look at their motivation for why they wanted to jump in and start their own business. And then, just having a foundation. I think a lot of people nowadays, there is sort of this drive to be an entrepreneur, right? And there's a little bit a bit of a glamour maybe to like, oh, I own my own business and I'm an entrepreneur. And you know, our society right now is very supportive of entrepreneurs. But if you don't have the foundation, it's going to be a struggle.
It
really will. So, you know, like,
and then you're beating yourself up again for taking that path and, you know, already sacrificing the time you have with your kids.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're going to do something, I always say, you know, I really wanted to do one magazine and I wanted to do it really, really well.
Yep.
And once that magazine is doing really well, then I can branch off into do other things.
Yep.
But I wanted to stay really focused in doing my one product and I wanted to do it really well. But I also had a very long history foundation for doing something like this.
Yep.
So I would very much encourage somebody if, you know, if they did want to do something, go out and talk to people and connect with people. And, you know,
that is so important.
Yeah,
and I find making those small connections takes you on a different path altogether. And you would realize, okay, that is what you want to do.
Exactly. So, and I did one season of a podcast called Talking with Grownups. And the first person I interviewed was Martha Adams from Tier 1, who's going to be at the market. And she talked about building your team. And I think this is super important. And I think this is an element of business that a lot of, especially entrepreneurs, forget, is that we cannot be everything. Right?
I agree.
We cannot be. And you know, she used the example, and women especially, I feel like we're like, we can do it
all.
We can do, we can have the kids and we can own the business and we can do all of our own books and we can do all of our marketing and we can do all our social media. And, you know, we got this. Well, do we? I don't.
Neither do I. You need that team.
Martha was really important, and she talked about building your team. So realizing where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and then finding people to fill those gaps.
Yep.
So she said, you know, we're a mom, but we're not our own doctor. We're not our own chiropractor. We're not our own, you know, hairstylist. Like, right? Like, we have all of these people in our lives that help to bring it all together.
Yep.
So why as a business person do we think that we can do marketing and we can do social media and we can do our own accounting and we can do our business development and you know, it might not be feasible for a lot of people. So, you know, she gives us permission to seek out and start building those teams of people who are going to support your business. So I think that's a really important element to entrepreneurship.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Elaine. And that was Elaine Capuchins from the Holistic Parent Magazine sharing her journey. I can't thank you enough for being in conversation with Rashmi and sharing your amazing journey, giving hope to a lot of people out there to follow their own dreams. Thank you so much, and all the very best for your market next weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
That's great. And I am also going to be sharing with you guys another event that's coming up on May the 11th. It's Kidspreneur Waterloo. It's a children's business fair. They're having the first annual Waterloo Region Children's Business Fair. It's being held at the Catalyst 137. It's located on 137 Glasgow Street in Kitchener. It begins at 11 a.m. It runs till 2 p.m. So if you're looking for something for Mother's Day gifts or just love crafts, are looking for some knitted accessories. These things are all made by kids, handmade. So do not miss out on the first Children's Business Fair in Waterloo Region. There are over 70 children-run businesses. So stop by and have some fun. And this is In Conversation with Rashmi, signing off from live in studio at CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo.